Coming up on this episode,
there's literally a bomb that is literally going to go off.
Sometimes when you've been married for a long time, it can feel like you've been taken hostage and there's no escape.
You know, that's the kind of dig that only a spouse would make, right?
Yeah, a spouse who wants to get divorced. This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by your two favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own ideas and thoughts about just what gives these works the narrative edge. Okay, Peter, so the last book we talked about was about the Supreme Court, and the book that we talked about before that was about gentrification.
Right.
So I just want to get sort of your self-critique here. How do you think we're doing on serious versus fun books?
I mean, there's been a balance over the arc of the series. I think there's been a balance, but we might be due for something fun. Maybe that's what you've got today.
That's certainly what I got today.
Okay.
This book is fun. It's fast moving. It's insightful. It's about a married couple in a midlife crisis who sit down for an anniversary dinner and more than just expensive plates come out of the kitchen. The book is called Jane and Dan at the End of the World by Colleen Oakley. And in the end, it's a heist book. It's a hostage book.
Not an apocalyptic book. Not the literal end of the world.
Those kinds of books.
I love, by the way. I love end of the world books, but that's not what this
is. The kitchen might blow up. The restaurant might blow up. But no, it's more like a hostage and a heist book.
And it's fun, you say.
Yes. So hostages and heists can be fun. What I really like about this book is sort of the witty insights in it and the dialogue between Jane and Dan. Jane and Dan are relatable characters. They're lovable characters. They're sort of every person characters. We can kind of recognize ourselves in them.
Okay, so tell me a little more about who they are. Exactly.
Jane and Dan. So Jane is a failed author.
Okay, I've known many of those in my day.
She's written a book, but maybe not too very many people have read it. Dan is a podiatrist.
Foot doctor.
A foot doctor,
okay.
Which, you know, is a...
Could it's a be, noble profession.
Could be the subject of jokes.
Yes.
I don't know. They have two kids, the older of which is 18. That's the daughter, Sissy, who makes a frequent appearance in the book. And they live in Southern California. They've been married for 19 years, but, you know, they don't talk much anymore. They don't go out much anymore. They don't have adventures like they used to. They're kind of bored in their relationship. I think the real problem between Jane and Dan, though, is that they just don't know how to talk to each other anymore. They don't know what the other is saying. So basically, here's how Colleen Oakley described the plot of the book.
Sure, yeah. So Jane and Dan have been married for 19 years, and Jane is not quite certain they're going to make it to 20. They go out for this anniversary dinner, as you said, and before they can make it to the second course, an underground eco-terrorist group bursts into the restaurant and takes everybody in the restaurant hostage. And my tagline that I like to give is, if Jane and Dan can survive this, maybe they can make it through anything, even marriage.
I feel like I want to know what restaurant they're at.
Okay, it's called La Fin du Monde.
The end of the world.
The restaurant is called La Fin du Monde, the end of the world. It's on a twisty mountain up the coast, right? It's like it's on a cliff.
Oh, so this is like a Michelin star-esque restaurant.
This is like, and this how this restaurant works is sort of like how the book works, because it's super quirky and fun. Like this first course, the first course was goose barnacles. And this is a type of restaurant where the chef makes you put your cell phone away.
Yes.
You must order what the chef, you know, must do with the
chef.
Oh,
yeah. It's a plate. It's a chef's tasting.
Yes.
They're there for a chef's tasting. Goose barnacles sounds entirely plausible.
I have no idea what that is.
You didn't Google it to see?
I don't even know what
it is. I kind of want to see if it's real, or it could be real.
And this restaurant also has a $1 million dessert that, you know, you just... Hey, if you want $1 million, you just blow $1 million on a dessert. So anyways.
So the eco-terrorists,
I mean, that was the basis of my question, right? Yeah. Like, are they like trying to protest in some way the way this restaurant operates, the kind of lifestyle that people who would frequent this restaurant live? Is that it?
Yeah. So they're specifically waiting for one guy to show up who is a tech billionaire, kind of modeled on Elon Musk. So the idea is the tech billionaire is going to go there. They're going to take him hostage and get a lot of money. But I think that this book is just really funny because of all of the comic situations that goes on. Like these goose barnacles are described as prehistoric dinosaur claws.
Apparently tasty.
They were harvested from Sigourney Weaver's stomach.
That's the line that.
Yeah, that's the line. Uses. And what we're going to do throughout this whole conversation, you and I, is talk about some of these lines because, again, I think it's the witty lines and the insights that really, really make this book. So we talked a little bit about the restaurant. We talked a little bit about the guy who's going to show up. This guy, as a matter of fact, I forget his name now, but he's a tech billionaire.
Okay.
Kind of modeled on Elon Musk, and he has made self-flying helicopters.
Okay. Also entirely plausible in some not too distant future.
He's going to arrive by self-flying helicopter, and when he gets there, Jane and Dan are already there. When he gets there, the terrorists are going to do their thing and take him hostage and get all of his money.
So I don't know the intricacies of their plan, but it already seems kind of half-baked.
Yes.
Right? So that's, no pun intended, half-baked.
So that's another part of the fun because the terrorists are bungling. They're inexperienced. They're not very bright. And they're aided by police bungling. The police are inexperienced and not very bright. But at some point, this comedy farce, it's not quite Monty Python. There's some physical humor in the jokes in the book as well. But at some point, this comedy farce does get into some serious emotional territory with Jane and Dan's marriage.
I've been married for 18 years now. And while marriage is wonderful and beautiful and lovely, sometimes when you've been married for a long time, it can feel like you've been taken hostage and there's no escape. And so I was really playing with that metaphor for that kind of midlife and marriage and all of the mundanity that can come along with it.
So Jane's plan is to use this anniversary dinner as her opportunity to announce that she wants a divorce.
Does that ever happen in real life, though? I mean, especially at a restaurant like this, right? You're spending all this money to completely ruin the experience, essentially.
I announced that I was breaking up with my partner of 20 years on our anniversary.
Okay, I stand, but at a restaurant and everything?
Not at a restaurant, because he didn't even want to go to the restaurant.
Because, like,
point.
You never know what's going to happen, right? It could be a very expensive explosion between two people that could be embarrassing for everybody. Anyway, I ask only because I was going to say, is that plausible to you? Like, do you really think they would have done that? But I guess you do.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not going to get into my
it's
part.
It's fine. I mean, that's why we're here, asking you questions about this. Like, on its face, not being immersed in the narrative, I might say, really?
I literally told my partner that I was breaking up with him on our 20th anniversary.
Okay, so plausibility established. What was the specific cause for the divorce in this case, in this book? Was it reasonable?
So Jane believes that Dan is cheating. She has discovered texts, but that she believes incriminates Dan in cheating behavior. But sort of the real reason for this divorce becomes sort of clear over the course of this terrorist heist. And that is namely that Jane and Dan don't hear each other anymore. They don't listen to each other. They don't understand. They've changed, you know. You've been married to someone for 20 years.
You change.
What happened to you, you know? And so you got to kind of have to roll along with the changes in any relationship. But this is sort of the dialogue that takes place sort of before the terrorists arrive. For instance, Jane says to Dan, "I think we should go our separate ways." And Dan says, "Okay, well, you just have the lobster. I'll have the Wagyu beef." That's kind of an example of how they don't.
They're hearing, but they're not listening.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So Comedy ensues, in other words.
Comedy ensues. I think what makes this book different than a lot of other kind of books with divorce in the plot is this hostage situation.
Hmm.
You know, there's literally a bomb that is literally going to go off. And are Jane and Dan going to survive? Is their marriage going to survive? And if they do, how? So I think it's clever. It's literally a plot that I've never heard of before.
I think we have a lot of literature, certainly popular literature now, that are romance and love stories. They're selling like crazy, and for good reason. People love a feel-good love story, but they're generally about that beginning butterfly stage of relationships. And I don't know that we get a lot of literature, or at least popular literature, about those middle parts of marriages when all of that shine has worn off. And then what do you have left, and what's important or special about it, and what's keeping you there? And that's really what I was interrogating partly with this book.
So we've both been in marriages that have ended. Mm-hmm. And we are both in relatively new relationships.
Yep.
So would you compare marriage to a hostage situation?
I would not. Not in my current marriage. My first marriage, maybe. It was a difficult situation, to say the least, and I felt trapped in somewhat of a caretaker role. So yeah, that wasn't great.
Yep, I think I felt trapped as well in my first relationship for a number of reasons. But in any relationship, you just have to be prepared for disappointment.
Yeah,
and in everything, you got to be prepared for disappointment in job, in life, in friends, and she has a wonderful line in the book. Dan is old enough to know things won't pan out like you imagine and will leave you disappointed, like the first time you have sex, every New Year's Eve, or when you try to change the oil in your car for yourself.
So that's stand-up comedy material.
Yes.
Right there, essentially. Yeah.
I think she could be a comic writer.
So do you feel like this lends itself well, this tone, to describing the mundanity of you know, a well-aged marriage?
I think is very well describing a relationship of that age. You know, it can be disappointing. You know, like New Year's Eve. I mean, have you literally ever been to a New Year's Eve that you've enjoyed?
I have, but has it met my expectations? No, I've enjoyed it, but I could have been a little better.
Like, it's cold, the lines are long. Yeah. I mean, what are fireworks anyways?
Yeah. Well, so that line hits, right? She's written a line, a comedic line that hits pretty well. So does she have some experience with this? Like, is she a comedian, or does
she? I told her she should be. Told her she should be, but I guess there's maybe a difference in writing a book than writing for a TV show or a movie. I mean, there are so many lines, like, if they had just gone to Macaroni Grill, they'd be in bed by now. I think if I could bottle these lines and just sell them, that would be great. I think it's worth it for these lines. I mean, there's another one that I got to sort of preface by the fact that, you know, Jane is a novelist.
Mm-hmm.
And she's published one book. And the plot of her book was terrorists coming to a tea shop and taking over the tea shop.
Huh.
And so Jane thinks that these terrorists are following the plot of her book. But Dan turns to her and says, well, this can't be like your book because no one's read it.
Oof.
You know, oof. That's the kind of dig that only a spouse would make, right?
Yeah, a spouse who wants to get divorced.
You really got to know somebody to make digs like that. I mean, come on.
If you don't think it's a dig, if you've already discussed, like, okay, your book isn't selling well, no one's really reading
this. How many digs did I, you know, make on my, you know, ex-partner now? You know, God, how many digs did he make on me like that, you know?
Yeah, fair. I see where you're getting there. Yeah. So it's a believable part of a marriage. You can tell these people have been around each other for a long time. So is there anything you didn't like about this book?
Did not like about the book. Well, you kind of hit on it there. As you know, some of the situations are not believable. Some of these situations are kind of impossible. You know, does a terrorist really have to take over this restaurant and hostage this guy in person? I mean, can't they just like hack his account or something like that?
Okay.
And sort of the police bungling. You know, some of it is not believable, but you're not there for that, right? So you're not there for a lesson on how crime and terrorism actually takes place.
So you were willing to sort of suspend your disbelief in these patently disbelievable, unbelievable things.
Exactly. Or as Colleen writes in this book with in Jane's voice, sort of, nobody nitpicks Mission Impossible.
True.
Nobody nitpicks James Bond, you know? So maybe that was Colleen trying to get ahead of their own of the reviews.
That's fine. I will say, though, movies are different. Movies are different because when you see it happening, either it's special effects or CGI, it's easier to suspend disbelief because, look, Tom Cruise is actually doing that right now, you know? when you have to put your imagination to work, it's a little tougher. So I suppose that line she used could inoculate her somewhat.
Do it to read this book.
Okay. Fair. So, I know you're probably not going to tell us how it ends, right? Whether the bomb goes off or not, whether they stay married or not, but what gives this book the narrative edge?
I think the two main characters are endearing and lovable. Jane is a little bit hyper. She's a little bit ditzy. She's kind of extra.
She's extra.
And Dan is bungling and doesn't understand a lot. He's kind of the old fashioned, bumbling man, I guess, in some way. Anyways, the situations are funny. At one time, they're tied up in tape mouth in the back of the van. They're kind of both writhing around and trying to get out and trying to talk with their mouths covered. It's funny.
That's got to be a metaphor, right? Trying to talk to each other with their mouths taped.
Yeah.
To a couple that doesn't communicate well now has to talk through duct tape.
The dialogue is witty and observant. It's from a place of real knowledge. So anyways, I think I might want to start a restaurant called Le Fan du Monde and serve up plates of this dialogue and this situation. So love the book.
All right. Well, the book is called Jane and Dan at the End of the World by Colleen Oakley. Orlando, thanks for telling me about it.
All right. Thank you.